I love it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
What up?
Back to Soul Air. The only thing that's winning. Gotta keep representing.
Oh, Lord.
We are ready for another edition of Talking Sports, the 12th Man. Gentlemen, I hope you had a good week, but I got to tell you something really quick.
Boy, you are stupid.
Did anybody get on the dance floor tonight at the wedding, you DJ?
Really?
Is that what you guys had?
We know you enjoy Thanksgiving.
Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes. Listen, he was going off. Hey, I know I just have to bring a unique energy every single time because it's exciting to talk sports with you guys. We had an explosive week of just college football, like it's been turned around. We got to talk about that. We got to talk about just the fact that Curtis and Gary are here. JQ, Rob, man, again, I know one team won for you, other team. It was a weird weekend, man, but. Let's dive into it, as always. So let me check in with the fellas. You know, JQ, let's start with you, sir. How you doing this evening, sir?
Thanksgiving was fantastic. Chilled out with the family, and then Saturday rolled around, and I'm still dealing with all the texts and emails and foolish talk from a team that won one time in a decade. So, you know, I got to let them have their fun, I guess. But I told them, you better hope we don't win next year, because people talk so much stuff. I was like, if we win next year, I took it easy on him because I felt bad for him. You wait until we win again. I'm going to go completely in. But, you know, my big help salvage the weekend on Sunday, so I guess I'm all right.
Hey, your Beagles made God up for really it in a big way, man. They kicked the Steelers' ass.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm fully mixed up for it. I got to live with this for 360-something more days, so we'll see.
Right.
Yeah. Man, Rob Ford, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing good. Been extremely busy here, but, hey, busy is good. No whining here. So ready to get the show started.
Did you have greens, beans, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, turkey, chicken, steak, you name it?
Dude, sound like you got a lot of gas, bro.
Wow. I love it with the Fat Man Scoop. That's the remix. Oh, man. I was having too much fun with that. Over this
greens, beans, and tomatoes.
I had it on repeat, like, the whole time. I was like, greens, beans, potatoes. I was like, they're like, Dre got followed. Like, it was fun.
Who's that? Shirley Caesar?
Yep. She's like, listen, I got greens, beans, potatoes, tomatoes, man. It was like,
Shirley Caesar,
you know, the fingers going in, man. Yeah, it was hilarious. And the lady, she's like looking like, listen. It never gets old.
Yes, that is who she
is.
Oh,
my goodness. That's good stuff. Curtis and Gary, how you guys doing this evening?
Devin Booker out the rest of the game.
You know what? We had a great Thanksgiving until we turned the TV on and had to watch our boys lose in overtime. Yes. But there's a lot to be thankful for, though, you know. We have a lot
Correct.
To be thankful for. We're here tonight sharing with the fellas, Had a great meal. Curtis was over at the house. But I'll tell you what, you know, JQ, Thanksgiving night, I had so many people call. I never knew they were Raider fans. They must have crawled under their rock or you know, in their Hobbit or wherever the hell they were at. And
crawled out.
You know, and had to make sure they gave me a Thanksgiving call, you know.
Raider Nation.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, hey, listen, I get it. I got a sports bar with me, a lot of friends I go to. And, again, another reason why I hate Georgia, all the Georgia fans, all in the face. I was like, y'all didn't do it? What are you talking about? Why you was a little worried, weren't you? So, you know, I was like, y'all better win it. Because I'm going to clown. If y'all don't win it, I'm going to clown. So we'll see.
You know what? I took a few notes. So when you get off this call or tomorrow sometime when you got a bit, try and remember every one of those names, because I plan on remembering those names. I can't wait.
Johnny, this is for you.
I'm going to be relentless with them. That's going to be awesome.
Oh, yes, sir.
Payback.
Yeah, oh, my goodness. Cue of Alabama against Georgia this weekend. Who are you pulling for?
Oh, I'm so rooting for Alabama.
Twice, you said, JQ?
Yeah, because if Alabama wins, I believe Alabama's in. There's a good shot they may have to play Georgia again. And all the Georgia fans do not want that. But the other ones talk so much trash. I would have pulled for them until they started talking that trash. And I was like, oh, okay, you have definitely changed who I'm rooting for.
I know.
Yeah, they are pretty obnoxious.
I don't like
either
one of them.
All the chances, all your karma, all your bad karma, you're going to throw on that Georgia team now. And it's, you know, and it's their own fault.
Yep, agreed. Yeah. Karma is a beast.
Yeah.
Okay, Curtis Gary, though. But it's funny because I got to be honest, I totally didn't expect the Raiders to do that. I don't know if the Cowboys underestimated the Raiders or what, but you know, like I said,
maybe we did.
You can't do that, you know. So it's just one of the situations where you're like, man, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, Cowboys got this. And you're like, what's going on? What's happening over here? So just, you know, not to bring that back up, but it's kind of unexpected, honestly. So, but, you know.
Yes.
Interesting, man. So, you know. Anyway, we'll get this party started here.
None of us saw that.
Capitalism.
We've got to be thankful. We'll talk about Rob. Rob is going in hard for the Colts beating the Bucks. That did not happen either, but that's okay. We'll talk about that later. I know he really wanted that to happen to kind of talk some junk on the show, but it's all good, man.
Yes.
He's an asset, in other words.
I don't
too,
talk
man,
junk.
So. And you don't talk junk. We were just saying it was funny because you were like, yeah, I think the Colts are going to pull us off. We're like, I don't know about that, Rob.
Yeah.
But it's all good. It's all good.
You know
hey,
what? If they were playing this weekend in Indianapolis, I would still pick the Colts again.
Fair enough. Call the show 424-243-9519. Follow us on the Twitter at the number 12, THNMAN Sports. And we are on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports for the 12th man, or 12th man sports is where you find us. We have a lot of things to post on there. As always, and let's get this party started here. Let's talk about what's been happening over, you know, in college football. The landscape has been changing. It's been amazing, if you will. Lincoln Riley is kind of the first domino to fall going to USC. And, you know, that's not something that normally happens. I mean, Oklahoma is a pretty awesome school, so you don't just normally leave that situation. But I guess the allure of USC was just too great. And Lincoln takes that position. So JQ is shaking his head. What say you as we kind of kick this off, as you will, JQ?
Oh, yeah, I was shocked. And then as we started thinking about it and talking about it on the text thread, it was like, well, you want to stay in Norman, Oklahoma? I live in L.A. I don't think that's even any comparison. And then you talk about Oklahoma going to the SEC, and I don't care what Lincoln Riley said, a piece of him said, for the next 5 to 10 years, I got a much better shot at only worrying about Oregon every year in the Pac-12 versus worrying about Georgia, Alabama, LSU. You know, that gauntlet that you have to run in the SEC of those three powers, I fully believe LSU will be back. Then you get Auburn that jumps up every couple of years and has a really good team. And, you know, it's like, why am I dealing with that?
Texas
and I'm still living in normal Oklahoma. And y'all laugh at me when I talk about, you know, people don't want to go play in Iowa if they got better opportunities or, you know, or Nebraska. That dude looked out there. You can see in this press conference. He turned around and looked out that window and saw that L.A. landscape and said, oh, yes, I made the right decision. Plus, you know, Oklahoma, you know, you got to go into Texas for all of your recruiting for the most part or into Louisiana. Like, that dude really just has to roll out of bed and go to the, you know, he can go L.A. to San Diego and stay south, maybe sprinkle in a little bit, you know, in Northern California. But if he recruits out to Southern California, he's close to 4- and 5-star recruits there. He don't really have to go get on an airplane too much to go get recruits. So there's something to be said about that, about not having to leave your family as much to go get on a plane to recruit everybody. And the same thing with Brian Kelly and Notre Dame. There aren't any natural recruits, in, you know, over there. And the same with Oklahoma. You got to go in, a couple in Oklahoma, but you got to go into Texas. But you can just roll out your bed and watch college football on Friday night. I mean, high school football on Friday night and recruit there. That's huge. And the time that saves him, I think he's not going to be still working hard. But that time not having to go up and down in the airplane and in at all these other hotels and whatnot, it's something to be said for. But I fully believe a piece of that was that I'm not dealing with the SEC if I can go land. And then Oregon's a great school, don't get me wrong, but that's your annual class every year to deal with winning, maybe winning the Pac-12, where you got to go through 3, 4, 5 different schools in the SEC. So, I mean, I can see him doing it for that. And they rolled the truck out for him, the Brinks truck, that is, and he made the decision. I mean, I can't necessarily knock it. It's not like he's going somewhere where he won't have all of the facilities and recruits at his fingertips. So, good on Lincoln Riley. You know, if you can get up out of Norman, go to L.A., and be able to, you know, and he'll be a guy. Like, you can do that in Oklahoma, that's fine. But we all know the USC, and me and Rob talk about it all the time in terms of those hotbed, blue bloods, those destination places. And USC is one for all of this tradition. If you can go to USC and restore them and get them back to looking like those Pete Carroll USC teams, he'll be a guy. So, I mean, I can't knock him for that.
You talk about that. We're going to let Rob jump in here, too, and talk about that and all the recruits that, you know, losing the recruits from Malachi Nelson. And, you know, there's been a lot of turmoil that's been happening with that, too. But go ahead, Rob. Get your thoughts on this as well.
Hey, well, we documented it on this show quite a few times. USC is a sleeping giant, right? And they just needed to get the right coach back into that organization. And you know, on the surface, they hit a home run with Lincoln Riley. You know, it'll be interesting to see who he brings in as a defensive coordinator. I haven't heard any announcement on that front yet because, in all technicality, Lincoln Riley is the offensive coordinator as the head coach. You know, he's going to call his own plays. He's going to develop quarterbacks. He's going to recruit quarterbacks. As you saw with Malachi Nelson, you know, 5-star recruit flipping from Oklahoma to USC. And Caden Slovis is a pretty good quarterback already at USC, too. He just needs to, you know, get the right coaching, the right development, the right personnel around him. But he's a sleeping giant. He's going to be able to go into the Pac-12 and compete year in and year out, just like
he
did back in Pac-12. So, I mean, you know, I would say probably out of, if you look at 10 years, I would predict USC to win 7 Pac-12 championships out of 10-year span. On 10-year span. Oh, I mean, that's just how dominant they can be with Lincoln Riley.
Dang,
with the right defense.
Like, what about Oregon?
Yeah. And JQ said it best. And, you know, it's all about recruiting, right? And Oklahoma's a giant, too, in the college football realm. I mean, Oklahoma's been good in college football going back to the 1960s, right? So they are a giant in college football. But when you got the talent in your backyard, and Oregon is not going to be able to come in there and get these 5-star recruits out of L.A. You can forget it. They're going to have to settle for the 3- and 4-star guys and develop them. They're not going to be able to go down to L.A. and get a lot of these 5-star recruits. So when Pete Carroll was there, you can forget it. Pete Carroll got every 5-star out of that area, and they went into major markets outside of L.A. and got 5-stars, too. So if they can get that program back to that level, they are a sleeping giant. It's in Hollywood. You know, you're going to have Reggie Bush on the sidelines. You're going to have Matt Leinart on the sidelines. You're going to have Snoop Dogg on the sidelines.
Yeah, he's coming back.
And
you're going to have
the dog in the house. So, you know that's going to attract recruits.
That's what's up, man.
Well, can they be competitive? Was it a good move for him as a coach? Absolutely it was, because he's not a defensive coach at all. He's an offensive guy. It's all going to depend on who he brings on his team as to whether or not, they're going to be good on both sides of the ball. But to come into the Pac-12 versus go to the, Southeastern Conference, that's a no-brainer, regardless of the cities or whatever. It's a no-brainer for him to come out.
And what I want to say, what I want to say is look at the recruiting. Now, Lincoln Riley's known for getting people Heisman trophies. The guy at Louisiana is going to have to out-recruit Saban. It may take him a while to figure that out. And Saban's been putting people in pros, and Kelly's going to have to start getting kids to think they're going to pro too. And if this is good, the interest is good for the college basketball. Football, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think that, we'll see who, but to just blatantly say that 7 out of the next 10 Pac-12 championships are going to go to, that's ridiculous, Rob. I've heard you say some ridiculous things on this show. And you still owe me lunch for dinner for one of the ridiculous things you've said on this show. But that tops everything. I can't believe that came out of your mouth. I don't know if that's just wishful thinking or what, but that wasn't. Oh, man.
Hey, I don't have a dog in a fight. I'm not wishful thinking.
I know.
I'm not a fan of anybody in the Pac-12.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think also that statement hinges on Mario Cristobal, I think, a lot, too. And if he leaves, who they get to replace him. Now you've got these musical chairs going. I don't think Mario Cristobal is the Notre Dame kind of guy. So that also helps Oregon a whole lot to take those other attractive jobs that he might have been interested in, because I don't see him going from Oregon to Notre Dame. It doesn't seem like that's a fit for him. I told you before, I think the only place that he would probably go would probably be to Miami, only because he's a Miami guy. And he might look across the country and say, hey, I'm tired of my alma mater sucking, and I can go there and make a difference, because he will have the Florida in-state recruit. But I think that helps Oregon. So if he stays home, 7 out of 10 might be tough to do. But if he leaves and decides that Miami is the job for him to rebuild it just because it pulls at his heartstrings, then 7 out of 10 I don't think is necessarily a ridiculous statement, unless they go pull a rabbit out of their hat, right? And get a big name coach. I like Mario Cristobal. You know, he whoops your butt. But he's a good coach. He's a good recruiter. So I think a lot of that hinges on what happens with him now. Does he look around and say, I'm going to stay here? Does he look around and say, well, everybody else is leaving, so let me go restore Miami? So that would be interesting to see what happens with him.
7 out of 10.
Washington.
He said 7 out of 10.
Washington. Washington State.
Washington
Oregon,
State.
Oregon State.
Oregon.
Cal. Stanford. Arizona. Arizona State. Utah, Colorado, case closed.
I do kind of agree with Rob that USC is a sleeping giant.
Did I
say they just had to have the right coach.
They are.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're definitely a sleeping giant, and they just need
from
to have
what
a coach,
I've seen.
Man. And if he gets, like you said, it's going to take him like maybe 1 or 2 years to get everyone in there. And he's gonna get the recruits, like JQ said. You're gonna get the recruits. Now you got all that talent, and Lincoln Riley is a good coach. And so
it might not take him that long.
I said one to two, and I'm like, that's like within, like you said, you're still looking at, man, you got Malachi. All you needed with somebody was to put them together. They're right there. They are right there. So that's the scary thing about it.
LA and San Diego supplies the football talent for most of the Pac-12. Not all of it, but most of the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. The players come out of that area. And if Lincoln is securing all the top five players to go there, I mean, not the top five, the five stars and most of the four stars, Then the rest of the conference is getting the three-star players, and they're going to have to redshirt them and develop them.
Yep. I mean, he's already got – even Malachi Nelson is from California. He was like, I'm going to Oklahoma because of Lincoln. Oh, I'm going to stay home. You're like, it's right there. So, you know, he's going to keep that pipeline going. And I'm sorry, Curtis, Gary. I mean, not that we're crapping on Oregon or anything like that. It's just y'all got one year.
Fine.
Maybe.
Fine.
Y'all got 1 year to kind of, like, do some stuff, you know, next year. And then after that, I don't even know. I'll guide you to Rob. You may be like, woo. You know.
Oh, I'm not crying to Oregon. First of all, stay there. That's going to
be
fun.
Be Utah on Friday night.
It
might be the last Pac-12 championship for a while.
Yeah.
Do you
guys
think
first of all, stay there. Oregon's fun.
Oregon better be Utah Friday night.
You guys think Phil Knight is worried about Lincoln Riley? That's where you're wrong.
Yes, he is.
Phil Knight is not worried about Lincoln Riley.
He is right about now. It's like the first that you were supposed to dominate, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, we got this. Now you're like, oh, okay. We didn't think that USC was going to do the right decision. Now you're like, oh, USC, oh, crap. We didn't think that was even going to happen. And next thing you know, they got the guy. Because at first you're like, whatever. I ain't worried about it. Now you're like, ooh, they actually did something right. Phil Knight is definitely worried about this right now. You better come up with some new uniforms to keep him going. To get some more recruits. That's all I'm going to say on that.
He's so stupid.
Hey, Phil Knight is selling Nikes and EG.
I need some new uniforms, some glow-in-the-dark uniforms.
Versus Hollywood.
Phil Knight sells Nikes all over the world, in case you don't know, and you guys all have them, so.
We're not talking crap,
we're just saying.
It's all over the world.
Nike's right here. This is a global company. All right, just in case you don't know that, Rob. Probably have a Nike.
We're not talking about the company is bad. We're talking about the team. Doesn't matter if you're not getting the recruits, man. I mean, that's the case.
Talking
but
LA versus Eugene, Oregon.
Oh man, hilarious! All right, so we got to talk about the dominoes that are kind of falling here, because we got to talk about. Seems like, yeah, I know. I hear you, Curtis. So
that's
there's
like
the dominoes that have fallen.
Yeah, that's go like Fresno there. Versus LA.
This guy's going off, man. Oh, my God. Man. Okay. All right, Rob.
Okay.
You've got to do that, man. Oh, man. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
So let's talk about the dominoes that have kind of fallen. LSU, Notre Dame, all these situational things have happened. You know, it's been happening, obviously. Notre Dame gets Brian Kelly. We'll talk about, Rob, your thoughts about that because, you know, obviously, I don't know if that was the first person you're listening
to say about
that coming. Okay, go ahead, Lou.
All right. Now, I get the fact that he is, of course, leaving for LSU, but I think the way he did it, you know, was wrong. You have an obligation to your team to tell you that you are leaving in person, face-to-face, not through a text message. Or social media, whatever.
Yeah,
that is the wrong way to handle it. That is totally wrong. You should have been upfront with them in the first place saying, guys, we got to have a talk. They come out with it straight. You don't leave them a text message. I know this is a little modern technology, but that is not the right way to handle that you were saying you were leaving the team. It's like leaving them flat.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It's like, he said afterwards, but that was after the fact.
Well, did you see the money? Did you see
the
money?
Yes, I saw the money. Well, I didn't see the money, but I know about the money. But still, you're all with your team to tell me you're leaving.
15 years, $100 million. But yeah, you know, I won't get into that more. So I guess the surprise for me in this is, hey, Notre Dame is number 6 in the college football playoffs. I mean, a couple of things happening. They're right there paying for the playoffs. And
but
I think that's the biggest surprise in all of this. I mean, because you look at it,
not really.
Alabama could easily lose. I mean, I think they will lose to Georgia this weekend. They're going to fall out of the top
four.
Hell yeah. And I tell you what, I think Cincinnati's going to beat Houston, but it's not out of that question. Houston, I've seen them play a few times this year. That's a very good football team. They're like 11-1.
But I do think it's going to be a close game with Bama and Georgia.
Right. They're going to lose, though. Alabama's going to lose. Go ahead.
You could possibly have two of these top four, possibly have two of these top four teams lose, you know, this weekend. Actually, and if Wisconsin were to beat Minnesota, I thought they might have would have given Michigan a run too, but I don't think Iowa's got a chance against Michigan this weekend. But Wisconsin,
ooh,
I thought would might have a chance because you never know when Michigan's coming off of a big time win this past weekend, but sometimes you have a letdown the following week after that. And I thought if they played against Wisconsin, they can have a letdown. But I think they'll still be able to pull it out against Iowa. But that, to me, that's more the biggest surprise for Brian Kelly. Now, Scott Woodward, was Brian Kelly his number one option? I don't know. I think as an outsider looking in, I would have probably preferred Lincoln Riley or Jimbo Fisher. But, you know, Brian Kelly, is he a better football coach than Les Miles? Absolutely. Is he a better coach than Ed Orgeron? Absolutely. And both of those guys won national championships at LSU. So, I mean, same thing with, you know, USC. You know, LSU is a hotbed for the state of Louisiana has more players in the NFL per capita than any other state in the United States. So he's going to have a hotbed of talent. There's not another Power 5 school in the state of Louisiana to compete with for that talent. And they're still going to be able to get players out of Texas and down that I-10 corridor all the way down into Florida. And, you know, they occasionally get a few players from around the country as well. So, he's going to definitely have them contending, and I think he'll occasionally win a national title too. Like I said, Les Miles won a national championship at LSU. And Les Miles couldn't hardly speak English. And Ed Orgeron can speak English either.
Not very well, no.
What are you talking about?
Well, I tell you like this. You shouldn't be surprised with Brian Kelly because people, now that he's been in, Notre Dame, 12 years, being somebody from Cincinnati, and we can talk about Luke Fickell because it would be really weird if that happens. People forget that Brian Kelly was the coach at UC. And they were going to the Sugar Bowl. They were going to the Sugar Bowl, and they got the monkey stomped now by 10 people in Florida, but they were going to the Sugar Bowl, which is a big deal for the University of Cincinnati, and he left them high and dry before that Sugar Bowl to go to Notre Dame. So him doing the same thing to Notre Dame, to go to LSU, as somebody that's seen that happen before, that doesn't surprise me. Now, the whole text message thing, that's crap. You go out in these people's homes and talk to their parents and recruit them to Notre Dame. You owe them at least more than that than do it from text message. So I 100% agree with that. But his methodology of how he changed his job, him doing that, doesn't surprise me at all. Because he did the same thing to UC. When he's ready to move on, he's ready to move on. And when you heard the AD, he said that he sensed that Brian Kelly was ready to leave. And that Brian Kelly had made a couple off-comment remarks here and there. He thought they was the slip-ups. But now that he's left, he's like, oh, now it makes sense. So I'm not surprised by it. And it's the same thing for not the same thing because, Baton Rouge is not L.A., but that whole, like you said, being able to stay in Louisiana and recruit that talent and then maybe just hopping over into Beaumont and Houston and down that way into Texas,
Florida,
and get some of that talent, that having to fly all across the country to recruit at Notre Dame, and hard as hell to get into Notre Dame academically. I know we made jokes about them making, a little leeway for football players, but Notre Dame is a tough school. It's the reason why it's hard. They have more. Sometimes they are going down. Same with Stanford. It's hard to get that in there. Same with Georgia Tech. It's very challenging academically. You have to not only find talent, but you have to find the right talent to fit that school because of the academics. And that's not the school for LSU, but that's not the same thing going to LSU. You don't have the same level of academic standards to hold up to at LSU as you do at Notre Dame. So, but he stepped into the frying pan, so he said he was ready for a challenge. Well, buddy, you got it. So unless the SEC says I'm moving Alabama and Auburn to the east, when Texas and Oklahoma come in, you still got to deal with St. Nick every year just for a chance to get to Atlanta to play for the SEC title. So, it's not that he's a bad coach, but if he wanted a challenge, you got it, buddy.
He's saying there's a chance. At least I'm up there. I'll be top three.
Here's the
I'll
deal.
Be in there.
He did a heck of a job at Notre Dame. They were contending. I don't think he liked the fact that Notre Dame wasn't in the conference. And, now look, they're off, they're 11-1, and they don't have another game to play this weekend because they're not in the conference, right? And 11-1, you should be playing for some kind of conference championship normally, right? So I don't think Brian Kelly was a huge fan of that. And Notre Dame, even though last year during the COVID year, they played in the ACC. I don't think Brian Kelly was a huge fan of that, of not playing in the conference. And then, on top of that, how far are you going to go with Notre Dame? And they're in South Bend, Indiana. JQ touched on this a little bit. He's got to scramble all over the country to give recruits. His best player, Kyle Hamilton, is from Atlanta on a team this year, who I suspect will be at worst a top 10 pick in this draft. And, you know, like I said, he will be able to get top-notch recruits in his backyard at LSU. He won't have to go to L.A. He won't have to go all over the country, go to New Jersey to get players, Ohio to get players. And he can occasionally, but for the most part, 90 to 95% of his roster is going to be in the I-10 corridor.
How well do you think Jordan would do if they went to a conference?
Wait, what was that?
If Jordan ever were to go into a conference, which, I mean, permanently, not like it did last year, how well do you think they would do? Would they do well, or would they just be, you know, like a trash heap, like, you know, with other teams going into other conferences? Do you think they'll have the same success?
Well,
I think you have a better – Oklahoma and Texas, they're going to the SEC for a couple of reasons, right? Number one, they're going for money. It's going to – a huge payday going into the SEC conference. Number two, what they have seen, they've seen Texas A&M football program go to another level since they joined the SEC, right? And you've seen – I mean, Alabama has been the dominant school here in the SEC for about the last 15 years. That's true. But you've seen LSU win a couple of national titles. You've seen Auburn win a national title. You have seen Urban Meyer win some in Florida. When you're competitive and you can win the SEC, if you can come out of that conference, it's a really good chance that you're going to have a really good chance of winning a national title. Alabama won it last year conventionally. LSU won it the year before that conventionally. So the SEC has been the winners of the SEC has been winning the national title, and that's what these. That's why Oklahoma and Texas wanted to go to the SEC along with money, and that's what Brian Kelly sees right now too, an opportunity to win a national championship, which he had a slim chance of doing in Notre Dame. And every time they got in the playoffs, they got their ass kicked, right? And last year, they shouldn't have even been in the playoffs. They should have put Texas A&M in there, number four.
Right.
Yeah, well, the thing about the Notre Dame question, though, I think it depends on the conference. And even to me, as I think about it, you know, in terms of how it will realign for Notre Dame, because you really only have two choices for Notre Dame, as I see it. And it would probably be the ACC and the Big Ten. But Notre Dame and the Big Ten have been butting heads forever about them joining. But if they went to the Big Ten East, they will be hard-pressed to have to deal with the Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State conglomerate. You can give them Rutgers and Maryland's win. They go to the Big Ten West, they've got a shot to represent the Big Ten West a lot because you feel like they could probably contend year in and year out against Wisconsin, Iowa, whatnot. If they go to the ACC, to me, given what's going on with Clemson, they've got a shot to win the ACC every year because Wake Forest is not going to be good every year, right? Pitt is not going to be this good every year.
So if they went
to the ACC – they went to the ACC, I think they would have a shot. I get where you're going with that. But Notre Dame ain't cutting that pot. They got their own thing at NBC. They ain't got to cut that money with
nobody. That's true. They want to bring up the NBC deal.
This is us.
They got Drew Brees doing their game. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got Drew Brees doing your games with Mike Tirico, and you ain't cutting the check to nobody else. Notre Dame says, y'all can kick rocks. I don't care what y'all say about us.
You had to go with this is us, right?
I'm just saying. So maybe when that NBC contract runs out, maybe if NBC looks up and says having Notre Dame as our flagship only school, that we decide to go in a different direction and we don't give them the same deal again.
Turn to La Brea.
As long as that NBC money is there, I can't see them leaving. Would you want? Listen, I love y'all, but if I can go get me a check for $500 million and I ain't gotta give it to none of y'all, I ain't gonna give it to none of y'all.
I get. Forget you, JQ. Come on, man. We're here from the beginning, man.
I'm messing with you. But you get the
Jerry's
point,
like,
though. You don't have to cut a check. If you don't have to cut a check eight ways, you're not cutting a check eight ways. I'm messing with you, but you get the point.
We know. We got you.
Yeah, the Big Ten needs to separate Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, man. That West, man. I think got Michigan and Iowa in the Big Ten championship game, man. They need to split up those four schools.
Agreed. Well, I'm just making the point of if they go there, what would happen?
Go ahead, Sandra. I want to say, look at what the kids are looking at. Now the kids, they got that new rule where they're going to make money if they can get on TV and get their social media accounts going.
Yeah.
All these coaches offer that. And the other thing, they're putting kids in pro football. And a lot of kids have that interest of that connection to pro football. So that's the competition. Get the good kids.
Well, what's it going to do for them in the long run?
With your connections.
We'll see. Go ahead, Gary. Yeah, it's all good. I will say this. I do want to say this really quickly.
I'm pouting still on the whole UFC Oregon thing that Rob
was. That was like 20 minutes ago. That's funny. Gary's in his feelings right now. I will say this. I'll give Brian Kelly credit of keeping Notre Dame relevant because, you know, you kind of talk about the names, you're not getting the Rocket Ishmaels anymore. I mean, you still remember, like, certain names that are associated with Notre Dame football,
Rocket
right?
Man.
Tony Rice. Like, oh, man, you know, like Tony Rice, and you just have all these names, and that's the thing. At
Rome
least
better.
That he's kept Notre Dame relevant in this time, whenever you really haven't had those names like you will too. And you brought me back, JQ, whenever I thought about Oklahoma and the wishbone back in the day. And, you know, you just kind of like they've evolved and Lincoln Riley has evolved. And that's kind of the situation that you run into now. Yet you have a situation where, you know, you've kept the program going. You know, we were making jokes about, man, Brian Brosworth and all these names of those different people in different programs. And you remember certain things. And now it's okay to kind of evolve because before you say, you know, you got these corn-fed, you know, offensive linemen, and now you kind of you see how football's kind of evolving too. But on that same note, we'll talk about what's going to happen with Notre Dame. Notre Dame, I don't think they've replaced their coach yet, but you talk about what's happening right now with Oklahoma. They've reached out and talked about Clemson, JQ. They've got Brent Venables, the defensive coordinator, that's going to be the next replacement for Oklahoma, if you will, if the word of the trade is correct. And that's an interesting pick. I'll let you guys talk about that because, you know, you go from this offensive juggernaut guy to kind of a defensive guy. What's his going to look like has got to be the question because you got to hit a home run because now you're kind of making that switch. I would say it's a bad look, but it's like it's kind of one of those interesting picks. Like, okay, you kind of hope that you're hitting, you know, striking iron twice, dual. So go ahead with that, JQ.
Well, I think really what it comes down to is, like you said, who he picks for. Like, I don't know if he can stay internal with somebody he's familiar with at Clemson and have that go over real well with the faithful at Oklahoma. Like, I think he's going to have to reach out. But Brent Venables has been coaching a long time. We don't know all the tentacles of everybody he knows in terms of somebody back there. Like, because we talked about Brent Venables for years about being a possible head coach. And I would think that somewhere in back channels, he said, hey, if I was to pick this job, would you come be my OC? And, you know, so he's probably got a short list of names of people that we just don't have any idea about that he's cool with, he's talked to. Like, you know, I will bring you here with me if we're going to do this, we're going to make this happen. He actually said he's got to hit that out of the park. But I will say for him, he's going to change that mentality. And if he can bring that kind of defensive intensity to that Big 12, he can shut down some of those high-scoring offenses. And he's going to give Oklahoma always a chance to be in the game because of the way he coaches defense, right? So he's got to get somebody that's a great offensive mind who's also a really strong recruiter. So, again, we don't know. Like, before we started this week, I would have never thought Lincoln Riley would have left Oklahoma. I would have never thought Brian Kelly would have left Notre Dame. So, you know, I feel like everything is on the table in terms of who he can go get to be his OC who might say, hey, this is nice here, but, you know, I can do it on the big stage at Oklahoma. So I'm with you. It just depends on who he brings across. But, I mean, I still think for the next year while they're in the Big 12, it's there for him to have a successful year. I don't necessarily think that all the talent is bad for Oklahoma on defense. I just don't think their schemes are always that great. They don't get coached up on that because the focus is on the offense of Oklahoma, where he's going to change that mindset. And smart hire for them is because you've got to play the defense in the SEC. So I don't necessarily think that's a bad hire. I think he's very, very well respected. If you know college football, you know Brett Venables runs a crazy good defense at Clemson. But I'd be really interested to see who he brings on the OC. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. And I don't think, you know, as long as he's able to keep Caleb Williams there in Oklahoma, I think he will be able to attract a really good offensive mind just to come and coach Caleb Williams, right? So I think that's going to be one of the selling points Not only does he have the Oklahoma program to sell, but he's already got a top-notch quarterback who's a five-star recruit that showed some flashes here in his freshman year. So he's going to have that piece to really sell to somebody to come in and be an offensive coordinator as well. And you're right, he's coaching the Oklahoma program. You know, he's somewhat of a Bob Stoops disciple as well. So he'll be very familiar with that program as well. But I think most of all, he's going to be able to attract somebody to come in there and that's going to want to coach Caleb Williams to help elevate Caleb. And Caleb could probably help elevate whoever the new offensive coordinator is, too, to another level as well. So it'll be kind of like a partnership. So I think that'll be his huge advantage to getting a good offensive mind. But there's some other names out there at Oklahoma. You know, it looks like Brett Venables is the number one option. I mean, they've been drawing around Cliff Kingsbury. I can't see him leaving Arizona.
Absolutely.
Right now, I have an opportunity to go to Kyler Murray. Dave Aranda right down the road and Baylor did a phenomenal job. Matt Campbell at Iowa State. You mentioned Luke Fickell with the Notre Dame job, but he also could be mentioned in his Oklahoma job, too. So, Joe Brady is another outside choice as a possibility, even though he's struggling a little bit in Carolina. Right now, so there's some names that's being thrown around out there, and it's not that Bob Stoops considers coming out of retirement altogether to be the coach again at Oklahoma too. Andre's favorite coach.
They should be slapped. They should be slapped if they do that dumb shit.
We have not pulled up Bob Stoops in a minute, man. Rob, thanks for bringing that back to my memory. Appreciate you, man.
There
was a time on this show
at Oklahoma.
Andre bashed Bob Stoops.
You still got to be
every
Texas.
Week.
You got to be Texas. I mean, if you're not beating Texas when you're in Oklahoma, you'll be out of there sooner than you think. You got to beat Texas, Oklahoma. Whoever they get down there, that's their main objective right now.
Well, They made the change for Texas, obviously, because they got rid of Tom Herman.
But they didn't beat
that Texas. Definitely a move. So Red River rivalry has not been a rivalry by any means. So it's been like almost what's been happening with Ohio State and Michigan. So every now and then the sun's going to shine on a dog's ass every now and then. But right now, definitely with you in that instance, too. Curtis Garrett, what do you got? Do you have anything else to add on that? Oklahoma
y'all see this game, Ohio State took the lead on Duke?
Wow.
No, I mean, the only thing I would say is getting a defensive-minded coach and going into the Southeastern Conference, that's a good thing because it seems like the top teams of the Southeastern Conference, they all have phenomenal defenses. They're all well-rounded, it seems like, but they always bring that defensive mindset. So if you're going to join a conference, the toughest conference in college football, you better bring that defense. Defense first.
Yeah.
Just like what Rob had said earlier, that a strong defense is going to keep you in some games. You know, if you can't stop anybody.
That's what
JQ
was talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry, JQ. You're screwed. So that's what I've got to say about that.
it's not going to be good football anymore.
Yeah.
So we talked about some dominoes. Another domino that we talked about is Spencer Rattler, you know, JQ's favorite QB. Nah, big shocker, he's actually going to the transfer portal. So I guess where does he go? You know, obviously, as you mentioned, Rob, Caleb Williams has definitely secured that job. So where do you think Spencer Rattler go? And that's crazy. This guy was supposed to be like a top pick, and now he's
got a shock for you right here.
Situation going too.
Yeah, he can only hope to have a Jalen Hurts kind of situation here where Jalen Hurts, you know, kind of Tua kind of beat him out and bumped Jalen Hurts out. Jalen Hurts transfers to Oklahoma and becomes a second-round pick, now the starting quarterback for the Eagles. That's going to be the best-case scenario for Spencer. Ole Miss is getting ready to lose Matt Corral, right? I hate to see him go to Ole Miss, but that's where he might be going. You know, to play with Lane Kiffin. And that's the possibility. Hey, we talked about the Oregon Ducks. I mean, that could be a possibility. Mario Cristobal could possibly get him up there in Oregon. Hey, North Carolina is getting ready to lose Sam Howell. That's another possibility. He could go back to his home state in Arizona, either Arizona or Arizona State, where Herm Edwards is. So these are just a few possibilities, you know, possible, you know. I know some people mentioned
right
he,
now.
Could, he could follow Lincoln Riley to USC. I don't see that happening. USC has slowed this already. Five-star recruit coming in, too. And another one, Penn State is another team to watch. Sean Clifford is a senior.
I wish he would so we could whoop his ass. I think he's going to Arizona
so
State,
State's
though.
Another one to watch.
I wish he would so we could whoop his ass. I was reading today, though. He's from Arizona, and I heard that it's some strong leaning for the Sun Devils.
I don't believe it.
Go ahead, Lou. Say your piece.
Well, this is a college basketball story, though. But Ohio State just upset Duke, 71-66.
There it is.
I love
there
it.
It.
I love it.
There it is.
There you
there
have
it,
folks.
Congrats, Jacob. All right. So it's amazing that, you
good
know,
night.
We talked about, we still didn't, really, good night. We still didn't talk about what's happening with Spencer Rattler, though, man. I'm sorry. So, can you hear me? Okay, he's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That got switched off. Okay, cool. So we'll talk about that, if you will. Curtis Gary, I know that we want to kind of get some options here as far as we talked really briefly. Urban Meyer's not going anywhere. Talk about that. I guess I wanted to – we spent a lot of time talking on this. We got about, you know, looks like 15 minutes here. I know we want to get to some predictions, if you will. Let's knock out some predictions, if you will, because this is a pretty big weekend here. And then we'll briefly talk about – I like to, Rob, save the top five draft order and team needs and some prospects too, and then we'll get to some fantasy shout-outs here because that's been pretty good. And a lot of things happening in Major League Baseball. Maybe we'll hit that for the OT briefly too. So let's get those predictions really quickly. We're going to start with Curtis and Gary, and you got Oregon versus Utah. So what happens in this game, if you will? So go ahead, guys. What do you think out the gate? This is kind of a rematch game because Utah whipped that ass the first time. So what say you on this one?
Oregon got to get focused. They can't play around. I think the Oregon knows what this means. They got to show out. They want to go to the Rose Bowl. And so this is the first step. They need to get in that Rose Bowl. They've seen them in that ugly environment. Now they're going to see them in Vegas, I believe. And I think Oregon's going to win that. Close, probably 32-24.
Oh, wow. I'm going with an Oregon win in this game as well. I think it's going to be my score is 27-24 Oregon.
47-24. Okay.
Yeah, I agree. That was weird.
They can be great.
That game was really weird, and it turned on that kick return right before the end of the half, and it looked like it just took all the air out of the sails of Oregon. I just don't see that lightning strike twice. If you can't get motivated to go play a team that just whooped your ass and removed you from the college football playoff title, then I don't know what else to say to you. And we talk about how good Mario Cristobal is the coach. We're getting ready to find out. I think he's that guy. I think they're going to be super amped. You know, you're not playing in Utah on that crazy thing. You're in a neutral site in Vegas, isn't it? I believe the high school championship is in Vegas.
Yes, you remove
that home crowd for Utah. I think Oregon comes out with a whole lot of things on their mind. I'm going to go 35-24 Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah,
ooh,
yeah. I think it's going to be a really good football game. And Utah just brought the physicality on the home field in that first game, and I totally agree. You know, it's tough to beat a team twice like that in the season, even though it's been done. But I like Oregon by a field goal in this one. I think it's going to be a close football game. I think 30-27.
Wow.
Okay.
Good stuff. Let's get to the next game. Let's get to number 8, Baylor, at number 7, Oklahoma State. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, I like Oklahoma State in this one. I know we look at that game this past week against Oklahoma. Oklahoma got a couple of fluke touchdowns in that game against them. I mean, Oklahoma State could have really won that game really by a couple of touchdowns here. Dave Aranda's done a phenomenal job at Baylor in the second season there. But I like Oklahoma State. But if you're the Big 12 conference, you don't have Oklahoma or Texas in this championship game. The two teams that's leaving.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're happy about that, but I'm assuming you got to be somewhat happy to at least show the football world that you can be somewhat competitive without Oklahoma and Texas. Your championship game this year is Baylor and Oklahoma State. You still got Mike Gundy. You got Dave Aranda. And so, you know, I think if you're the Big 12, that's something to promote. You know, we're still in the conference championship game. Even though Oklahoma and Texas are leaving, it's our best two teams this year. It wasn't those two teams. So they can still be somewhat competitive from a football. We know basketball-wise, the Big 12 is going to be loaded. But they can at least show themselves that they'll be somewhat competitive from a football environment, too. So I think Oklahoma State wins this game. I'm going to go 30-23. They win by a touchdown and have an outside chance of getting in the playoffs.
If a tree falls in the forest, does anybody hear it? Because is anybody watching this damn game? Because I agree with you. When Oklahoma and Texas is not in the Big 12 championship, it's going to be hard-pressed to get people outside of the Big 12 country and probably just the alumni of those schools to watch that game. Like, so we're going to find out if it's a good thing or a bad thing. We get those ratings back up for that game. Maybe you have people around the country that want to see Baylor up to Oklahoma State as an outside test, I'm leapfrogging them to get so there's one less team to be in it for maybe that fourth spot, depending on what happens everywhere else. But I'm with you. This ain't basketball. Dave Aranda's done a good job, but that Oklahoma State defense has been pretty good this year. I'm going with Oklahoma State. I think they win by 10 points. I'm going to say 30-20.
Curtis?
Oklahoma State.
Nice.
I got them going. And they got an outside shot. So their focus is trying to do the best they can to get in there.
Okay, I'll make it unanimous. I'm dreading it. I wanted to do what Rob did a few weeks. No, hell with it. I'm going with Baylor for no other reason other than I want to beat all you guys.
I like it, Jerry. I like it. Georgia,
hey,
Alabama. I think everyone.
I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. I really wouldn't. But I would stick with Oklahoma State.
But
it wouldn't be a total. It wouldn't be a huge upset if Baylor wins in my book. I mean, if you saw the way they dominated Oklahoma in that game this year, they really did.
Mm-hmm. Good job, Gary.
I think it's going to be a close game either way.
Yeah, it'll be close.
Go ahead.
I think pretty much unanimously, I think everyone's unanimous about Georgia beating Alabama. Is that correct, unless, Gary, you want to go against the grain too? Do you feel, you know, no?
No, I'm not going against the grain on this
one. No. I'm taking Bama. Have you seen what's happened the last couple of times Georgia and Bama have played in that same exact stadium? Until Georgia does it once, I'm going to go with Bama until they do it once.
I know you're feeling some kind of way in your feelings, JQ.
No. Honestly, outside of that, if you look at the past results, Bama kicked Georgia's butt at the bend. I think it's the past two or three times they've won against Georgia in Georgia's backyard. So until I see Georgia get over that hump one time, I'm not going to bet on them to get over that hump this one time.
Fair enough. That's okay. You know, actually, history, like you said, you got to go with that history. Rob, go ahead, Rob. We'll see about tripping with that, Rob.
No, that's a fair point, right? That's a fair point. Right. Can't argue with that. But I'm going to go with Georgia. I think they get over the hump this year. I don't like either one of these teams. There's no doubt about that. But I'm going to pick Georgia. Georgia, I don't think, has given up more than 14 points in any game this year. That defense is an NFL defense ready right now to play on Sundays. And I think they slow down to the Alabama offense. And they control the
Bryce
ball
Young,
on offense
nothing.
As well. And I think they win the game in the trenches. Alabama's had a lot of close calls this year. I mean, they pulled those games out. You got to give them credit. They had a close call against the 6-6 LSU Tigers. They had a close call against the 6-6 Auburn Tigers. They had a close call against the 6-6 Florida Gators. And I mean, a play here and there, they could be – I mean, they pulled them out. You got to give them credit. but they had a close call in all three of those games. I think Georgia wins this game, and I think they win by 2 touchdowns. I'm going to go 31-17.
I am changing my prediction. I listened to both of the comments between JQ and Rob, so I am also going with Alabama. And I believe Alabama is going to win the game, and it is going to be a close game that they win, and it's going to be because they're going to be out-coached. Saban is a better coach.
All right, good stuff, Gary. You got to stand by your morals, okay?
Everybody's backyard. Georgia's got to prove it. They really got to prove it. And I think they're ready. But, boy, they got a lot to prove. And they got to get this big chip off their shoulders. So there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Bullseye right there. Georgia's got to do it. I'm thinking Georgia.
It's interesting because I think this whole year you've had a couple of teams that you've had to get over that proverbial hump, right? You know, I think the same thing with the Braves. You had to beat the Dodgers to get to that situation, and this could be a situation for Georgia. I think mentally they have to overcome that, and that's a good pick. You know, as you said, you know, JQ, until it's been done, we can sit there and say that you got the best on paper, but until you actually do it, you don't want some fluky thing happening. Nick Saban's going to pull Bryce Young's cousin out to the stadium, or, you know, you never know. You know, something crazy that happens. If you're Georgia, you better be prepared for some psychological something warfare that Nick Saban may, you know, come out wearing all black. Like, well, what the hell is he doing over there? You know, you just never know. So it could come down to coaching, and, you know, it's going to be an interesting situation for sure. Let's get to JQ's squad. You got Houston at Cincinnati. We talked about, Rob said Houston has been a really good team. We got about a minute before we get to the OT part here, but so I don't know if you can kind of fill that in really quickly, JQ, and then we'll kind of get sore, and we'll let this go to the OT portion, if you will, too. So go ahead, so I'll let you kind of start since it's your squad.
I just want to see them crash the party. I want to see what kind of ridiculous things that they come up with if they don't let them crash the party. So I'm going for UC. I don't want them to give the committee a reason to exclude them because you know they want to. They're rooting real hard for Houston to win this game. So for no other reason than that, and of course, I'm put tonight, I want to see them win and do well. But I want to see them crash the party and see what kind of shot they get if they get to play the big boys.
35 seconds, Rob.
Yeah, Houston is a really good team. I think this is going to be a good win for Cincinnati to add to the resume because I think Houston is better than that 24th ranking. They might even move up with the playoffs coming out tonight. So I like to, and it's a good story, right? I think it's a good story for college football to see Cincinnati team make it to the playoffs. It'll be really neat to see. And I'm going to pick the Bearcats. But I'm going to pick it, yeah, I'm going to say 33-23. I'm going to go a 10-point victory.
Ooh, I think it's going to be close.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music. That is the end of our live portion of the show tonight. We thank you all for tuning in to hear our shenanigans on tonight. Thank you all for having fun with us. And thank you for tuning in. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the West Coast from San Diego, L.A., Fresno, all the way up to Eugene, Oregon. Tune in on the West Coast next Tuesday night at 8 p.m. You don't want to miss it. Good night, people. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion of the show. We can't give you this portion of the show live, so click on the same link to get the rest of the show. Click on the same link on tomorrow and the rest of the week to get the rest of the OT portion. Good night, people.
Listen, UC, listen up. I don't know who you got to get. I don't know if you got to go get Melvin Levitt. I don't know if you got to go get whoever, Chad Ochocinco. You got to go get anybody that's got some connections to Cincinnati and put some money in a jar and keep Luke Fickle in Cincinnati. Stop having Cincinnati be a stepping stone job, especially for Notre Dame. It's getting old. Keep him home. You're going to the Big 12. Show the rest of the country that you're serious about being a big boy and being a contender. Pony it up. Keep Luke Fickle. Do what you got to do, Cincinnati. Good night.
Yep.
Hey, this is how we're going to end it.
The Big 12 has got to be loving this right now. They got the number 4 team, the number 5, and the number 9 team.
That boy is tripping.
I got green, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rice, dog, green, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, 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 green, potatoes, tomatoes.
your hands up and we can see them.
Wow. That boy is tripping.
Oh, my goodness. We got to let Curtis and Gary get to your predictions for Cincinnati, Houston. So go ahead, guys. Go ahead.
It's Cincinnati time. Believe it or not. Both in pro and college. Congratulations to Ohio and Cincinnati.
What's the Cincinnati time?
And the game is in Cincinnati too, so it's a home game for the Bearcats.
There it is.
They need to change that though. That sucks. I mean, it works out for us this year. That sucks. You can't have it in somebody's home stadium. You got to have it in neutral site.
Yeah, they try to make it happen over there. Hey, let's talk about the JQ. Actually, the fact that Curtis shows some love to Cincinnati. Curtis, we appreciate you because it feels like you're like an undercover hater.
I know, I'm shocked.
Cincinnati squad. I love it.
Yeah,
let's talk about JQ's second.
That was a good win.
That was
a good win.
Great win.
That was a good game. They really grew up. Ben Roethlisberger was doing comedy again. I thought.
Now that was a good joke right there.
Oh, good job, sir. Fire. We have so many different fun topics to get into, but again, I don't hope this doesn't hurt you, JQ. So you have Michigan playing against Iowa here. Eventually, we know that Jim Harbaugh was. He was definitely feeling a little heat, if you will, because Ohio State whipped his ass for a couple of years, and so he finally got one in. But, again, we'll let that proceed. Obviously, what's going to happen in the next game when we got Michigan at Ohio? I don't know if you want to take this or you want to let Rob take it. It's your call, man. You can kind of either pass along or whatever, man.
You already know what I'm saying. Iowa, go ahead, Rob.
You really picking Iowa?
Michigan
picking
at
Iowa.
Michigan at Florida.
Let's go Hawkeyes.
Ohio State. Michigan at Oregon.
That was your head or your heart?
Oh, wow.
It was with my toes. All up. Let's go Iowa.
And you can put Michigan versus Michigan. Rob's going to say, Jason's going to go see. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, a win for Michigan, obviously, and like I said, a lot of times when you have a big emotional win like that, you can easily have a letdown the following week. What's the coach? Jim Harbaugh has got to be really careful with his team this weekend. He's got to find a way to keep them motivated. But I think this game's going to be closer than the experts think, just because, like I said, coming off such of a high off that win on last week. I'm going to go 23-16, Michigan winning by a touchdown. I think they'll have enough to pull it out. And I tell you what, Aiden Hutchinson had a phenomenal game. He moved himself back into the top five of the draft. And some experts think he's moved his way up to the number one pick. I still got Kalen Thibodeau from Oregon as the number one pick. But Aiden Hutchinson, in some people's minds, has moved his way all the way up to the number one or number two pick in the draft. But I'm going to go with Michigan.
Wow.
Yeah. Another guy I think was doing comedy was Carson Wentz.
Yeah, that's all in the conversation. That's all in the conversation.
I'm going to go with Michigan in the game. I think they're a better team. Hopefully Harbaugh has his boys ready. But it really wouldn't, and I think it's going to be a close game. I don't know what the point spread is on this game, but I think it's going to be a very close game. And if Harbaugh doesn't have his boys ready, been known to not. So if he doesn't have them ready, JQ is going to be the big winner.
Yeah,
and he is the GOAT.
And it's funny that you mentioned that, too, because Aiden Hutchinson, because, and Rob, I know we may have to touch base on this next week because, That would be very interesting if, you know, if Aiden stays up north and play for – he may hate playing for the Detroit Lions, but we'll see how that plays out, if you will, because Big Ten guy right there at home with that pick. Let's talk about the next game. We got to wrap this up. And I do want to get to the NFL predictions because there's a big game between – I'd love to see the argument between Rob and Gary. Let's wrap this up with Pittsburgh at Wake Forest, if you will, too. So, you know, ACC championship, if you will. And Jake, you said that Wake Forest isn't always going to be good in this situation, too. So you have 17 and 18, if you will. So let's wrap up this prediction, if you will.
I'm going to go with Pickett and Pitt.
Yep.
Yeah.
Rob?
It's interesting. You know, I think back in September, I kind of figured this is where the ACC was heading, Wake Forest and Pittsburgh in the championship game. Do y'all remember that? It was like,
yeah.
Wow, Pittsburgh and Wake Forest, and sure enough, that's who's in the ACC championship game. I think Wake Forest, I like Pickett a lot, and both of these quarterbacks right now are trending to being first-round picks in the draft. I think Wake Forest is an overall better team. But I do like Pickett a lot. I think it's going to be a close football game. I'm going to go 36-33 Wake Forest.
Wow. Okay.
I'm picking Wake Forest also. And, you know, the ACC, what do you want to say about that conference? They got to pick themselves up too. But it's going to be Wake Forest. Yeah, about 35-30.
I don't know what the score is going to be, but I'm going to go with Wake Forest as well.
Gary, you have that crazy look in your face like, what was Curtis doing? But, yeah, I get you on that. Yeah, dumpster fire, ACC. You know, Clemson's had a really terrible down year. No one's really seized the conference from the North Carolinas of the world, anything like that. And I'm sorry to even bring the sorriness of Georgia Tech. We lost a lot of players, and that's a dumpster fire too, man. We got to freaking figure that ish out seriously because this has been a disaster, you know. But that's just my 2 seconds. Don't waste too much breath on that. Let's talk really briefly about some NFL pick'em games, and we'll wrap this up too because we were supposed to do fantasy shout-outs too, and maybe we can get into that too. There's a lot of things happening. We got an interesting game right off the bat, Cowboys at the Saints. Nothing brings more excitement to see Curtis, Gary, and Rob have a nice little argument about what's going to happen here, if you will. Every time the Cowboys get their ass whipped, they come back with a vengeance. Not that they got their ass whipped, but just an interesting game. The Saints, as we know, what's happening with the Saints, you know, Trevor Siemian, what's happening, blah, blah, blah. What say you on this? I'm going to start with Curtis and Gary on this to see them firing their shots at Rob.
Oh, no. Rob, go ahead. Rob, I want to hear from Rob first.
Hey, you know, I mean, I'm obviously a Saints fan, right? But, you know, we're just not a good football team right now. So I'm going Dallas. Dallas is a better football team. I'm objective. So I'm not gonna pick with my heart. Dallas clearly a better football team. It looks like Amari Cooper is going to be back for Dak Prescott. I know Mike McCarthy is not going to be there, but offensively, this is by far Sean Payton's worst team he's had offensively as the head coach for the Saints. I mean, they just can't generate. Shucks, I think they only had like 2 or 3 first downs at halftime the other night. I mean, the offense is straight up putrid, and it's you know, it's really hurting our defense right now. So hey, you know, taking our lumps and. You know, we got to rebuild. It's just not our year. So, you know, Dallas clearly the better football team. I think Dallas wins this game 31-16.
Well, they're going to start Jason Hill. So that's the
decision
they made. Yeah,
they're going to start Jason Hill.
And we're going to see if he can do any better. But that does not lose to either one of those guys. Dak is a better quarterback than both those guys.
Well, the only thing I want to talk about Amari Cooper. You mentioned Amari Cooper, and Curtis and I we're frustrated with Amari Cooper. And I know that Jerry Jones is frustrated with Amari Cooper. You know, they're not even sure if he's going to play yet, or at least from what I've read, he's still a question mark whether or not he's going to play. And I know that you know, they gave up a first-round pick for him. And when when he's in there playing, Dak's a different quarterback. Amari Cooper and Dak have a really good connection, and it opens up the other guys. So he ends up having a good game. If he plays, I think it's going to be a really good day for the Cowboys. If he doesn't, I think it may even be a squeaker. You know, but I'm not all in on Amari Cooper now. Not with his attitude on things, in his personal life. You know, you get paid a lot of money. You know, let's do the right thing for your team. Put the team first. You know. That's my thoughts on that.
Looks like he's playing, though. Looks like he's playing. Looks like he had a full day of practice on today.
Did he?
Yes.
Yeah, $21 million. Jerry's looking at that $21 million and saying, boy, you better be on that field. $21 million. I'm not playing COVID. I'm paying you a lot of money.
Well, I'm going to shock y'all because he looks like he's really struggling with that. When I read earlier today, that he still got a pretty good lingering cough. He still got some – I'm not surprised he got a full practice in, but they were saying about his cough, he's still struggling from it. I worry, is he on the pitch count? Like, can he go out there and play 85% of the snaps after not having played 2 or 3 weeks? What does his condition look like? Because for people that haven't had the kind of systems that they've reported that he's had, I'm concerned that he's able to, you know, can he play every third down, those third and eights you need to have. If you're going to be able to stay on the field. I'm going to go with the Saints. I'm only going with the Saints because I think that Saints defense is better than it's shown. It's that Trevor Siemian has put them in a lot of shitty situations with bad decision-making, not being able to stay on the field. You know, Mark Ingram got hurt. You haven't had Kamara for 3 games. Ingram, I think, practiced in full. I think Kamara was a little limited, but I think he's on track maybe to play. They're going to want some real-life wishbone offense type shit on Dallas, and you're just not ready for that in the NFL. And so, I mean – if you don't see film on it and you don't prepare for that kind of offense, for them to throw that at you on a short week, I think that's hard to prepare for a Dallas defense if you're not used to seeing it, especially at this level. I think it's going to be, as most of these Thursday games are, it's going to be a little ugly. It's going to be a little funky. I just feel like, you know, that New Orleans is going to pull that off only because they're going to throw a wrinkle at Dallas. And not just Dallas. I think you could probably put team-wide in that category. If you get a running quarterback and you get them both his running backs back, and the way they're going to run that offense is not something that you prepare for on a regular basis. It's kind of like when you play freaking Navy with that triple option. Sometimes if you play them in the beginning of the year, they scare teams for a first half because nobody's used to playing the triple option on every play. And that's going to run a triple option. But I'm just saying they're going to be a really ground-based RPO kind of attack that you're not used to seeing at the NFL level. I think that gets it done in New Orleans. I do. And a part of that is because of Amari. I just don't think Amari plays a full game. I don't think he's going to be Amari yet for another week, maybe two, until he gets his conditioning back. So I'm with you. When he's fully healthy, him and CeeDee Lamb, he makes Dak and Dalton Schultz in the middle a whole different offense. Without him healthy, you can focus on those other two and you see what's happening.
I never thought I'd miss the triple.
Yeah, I hope you're right.
I'm being honest. And I mean, if Amari was fully healthy, I probably would have taken the Cowboys.
The interesting thread.
Yeah. I don't think Alvin Kamara's
situation too. Yeah. He was losing all your weapons. The Dan Quinn thread is that he's going to be coaching because Mike McCarthy's out. You know, it's just kind of interesting how you had the ex-Falcon coach there coaching Dallas, and Sean Payton said he owned, you know, the Falcons, and we'll see if he owns Dan Quinn, man. So we'll see what happens with that too. You know, so I don't know what the hell is going to happen with that by any means too. So it's going to be an interesting game. Like
well,
I said, it can be funky, as you mentioned.
What's your pick on this?
I mean, I'm leaning towards the Cowboys, if you will, obviously. But, you know, like as a Falcon fan. But, again, you know, I can see it interesting, you know, Saints will try to flip them. But I'm going Cowboys. I'm going to go, like, 27-13, if you will. That's me. We'll see. But like you said, Saints, we got a good defense. But we'll see. Dak should do what he's got to do, though. Let's go to JQ's game, and then we'll wrap this up here. JQ, Chargers at the Bengals, man. Chargers, congratulations, whipping up on the Steelers, if you will. What say you, Justin Herbert, man? They were the darlings, but you know,
yeah,
Chargers will too. So go ahead.
Yeah, it just pains me because I just – I think Justin Herbert is the real deal. And I watched a lot of that Broncos-Chargers game, and he was terrible. Like, if you watch the game, he was terrible. He missed throws that I hadn't seen him miss this year. He got them – they kept having a lot of three outs. He just didn't make throws that I thought he would play. And the reason I'm going to go with the Chargers today, and I'm rooting – my heart wants to pick the Bengals, but my head says, can my young Bengals – all the – oh, you guys are great. Because remember last time when they beat up on the Ravens? Yeah. And next week they didn't look so hot. They start reading that press and thinking they're bigger than they are. I wonder, you know, sometimes it takes a young team a little bit to handle that kind of adulation when you're not used to hearing it, you know, rat poison. So I worry about that for them. And this is a big game for the Chargers, not only for the wild card hunt, but to stay in contact for the AFC West. So, like I said, I'm real strong for the Bengals to win. I want to be wrong on this, but I just don't think Herbert has two bad games in a row. And if I'm being honest, we start Eli Apple at cornerback. So all games, he's going to have either Mike Williams or Keenan Allen as his primary coverage. And if I'm Herbert, I'm finding out where Eli Apple is. He's a buck apple. He sucks in the NFL. And I'm going to him every time if they don't single Eli Apple on one of those two wide receivers. So that's what I would do for the Chargers. So I'm going to the Chargers. See, that's my point. He's starting because Trey Waynes is hurt. So I just don't think he matches up well with either one of those guys. And unless you roll help to him, it's going to be a long day for Eli Apple. I'm going with the Chargers.
I like the Bengals in this game. And ever since the Bengals come on the bye, they've been impressive. Big win over the Raiders, big win over the Steelers here, and neither one of those games was close. I think this game will be closer than the Bengals' last two victories. This is going to be a very intriguing matchup. Joe Burrow against Justin Herbert, right? There were two big quarterbacks in the 2020 NFL draft, right? So this is going to be a very intriguing matchup. There's a lot of conversation about who's the better quarterback, who's going to have the better career between Burrow and Justin Herbert. So this is going to be very intriguing to see those two go head-to-head in this matchup. I like Cincinnati. I think they're a little bit better team overall. And they're at home this week. And I'm going to go 27-24. I'm going to go Bengals by a field goal in this one. And Joe been mixing it up, too, in his running game. I think he's had two straight games over 100 yards rushing and two touchdowns in each one of those games. So Bengals doing a really good job mixing it up with the run game and the pass game. They're getting T. Higgins involved. Jamar Chase has been kind of quiet the last few weeks. But, yeah, I mean, they got the weapons, and the Bengals got a better defense than a lot of people give them credit for. I know Eli Apple may be a liability. They're going to have to help him out, but I think they pull it for now by field goal.
A lot. Well, L.A., I've been watching them a lot, and they play Big 12 football. They got offensive output. But that defense can't stop a nosebleed. They can't stop a – yeah, that defense is terrible. So Cincinnati, I believe, is going to take advantage of that. Have the ball last, beat them, like 27-24. That sounds about right because if Cincinnati has the ball last, and that's what they should be planning on, L.A. won't be able to stop them.
Yeah, I give this one to Cincinnati as well. Overall, they're just a better team. I think that Herbert will bounce back and have a better game and be competitive. But, I still give it to Cincinnati.
Right. Going with our Chargers is just a lifelong time of seeing Cincinnati play really well for two games and everybody get back on it. And then they come out and shit the bed. And I've seen it happen too many times. I want to be wrong. You know I want to be wrong. But it's the same thing with picking Georgia, Alabama. Until I see it, you know, against another good team, they're going to have plenty of these games. Their schedule was ridiculous down the stretch. I need to see it first because you turn on the TV and everybody's talking about them and what they did to Pittsburgh and did they retire Big Ben and all that. I want to see them be able to handle that spotlight and play a good team following week and be able to come out and put that same thing out there. And, again, I'm super worried about Eli Apple against those wide receivers. once they give him a dedicated safety to his side, he might have a long ass day.
Oh man, like you said, I know JQ. Right now, you're going with your head on this too, man. So you know, again, definitely good stuff, man. Right now, because like you said, it's like that. You have a huge muscle win, and they could be a young team. You're hoping that this is a very pivotal game for them right now too, man. Because again, you know, right now, you know that Justin Herbert's not going to play as bad as he did last week. Cincinnati does have a pretty good defense, like you said. So it's going to be matchups, if you will, because like you said, Eli Apple's going to need some help. Justin Herbert's going to come out proving something, so it's not going to be an easy game by any means, too. So, but I kind of agree with everyone. I think that Cincinnati can pull this off. It'll be a lot closer than we think, but it can be like I agree with Robin, kind of a field goal game, if you will, too. So, but you know, we'll keep an eye on that as well, gentlemen. We've definitely gone right. Way past.
Son,
the
just
time.
Beat the Warriors.
Yeah, man, that's wow. Without Devin Booker, wow. Okay, they just did their thing. Let's go ahead and wrap this up, gentlemen. I know it's been a great, great show. I guess you guys can pick your last topic. If you're in the fantasy shout-out, that's fine. Rob, whatever you don't pick for tonight, I definitely think there's some good topics to talk about. There's been a lot of movement in Major League Baseball with Corey Seager going. You got some moves with that. And obviously, Scherzer going to the Mets and stuff like that. There's been a lot of interesting moves. So I know we can touch base on that because I definitely want to hear about the top prospects and also the top five teams and their needs and things like that. So maybe we can say that for next week. But pick this last topic before the lady cuts us off of Block Talk, if you will, too. So, you know, it's about that time and everyone's kind of sleepy, too, as well, too. So you can pick the topic and let's wrap this up, if you will. So go ahead and start with you, JQ.
Oh, man, I don't have one. We touched on all my teams. We got the picks for them. We hit on them. I don't really have one. I'm interested to see how these championship games play out on Saturday. I know, I'm not in it for the first time in a couple of years, but I definitely will be watching. I'm still a football fan first. That's really much it for me, man.
Gotcha. Good deal. West Coast, what you guys got?
Well, I want to say my top five offensive lines. I want to talk about that. It's going to be real brief. I'm not going to go into why. I'm just picking them. The Buccaneers, the Browns, Kansas City, the Washington football team. Number five, I have Green Bay. Number six, I have Dallas. I saw Dallas in several of these earlier today as the number one offensive line. And I don't know why they would have Dallas as the number one offensive line. Curtis and I were talking about it earlier, and we have them maybe – this was very generous at tied for sixth, but they could very easily be the, you know, 10th or 11th best offensive line in the league, in my opinion. Curtis, what do you got?
I want to know if you guys think the Philadelphia quarterback, is he
Jalen Hurts.
A little bit of – yeah. Jalen Hurts. Is he a little bit of Lamar Jackson light? Is he learning to be that kind of quarterback, like Lamar is? I'm seeing that a little bit.
I don't think he's in Lamar Jackson's league yet. Now, Jalen Hurts had a horrible game this past weekend against the Giants. Now, prior to this past week, the three games prior, Hurts actually played some really good games. But then, you know, he kind of had a real big letdown this past week. So I wouldn't put him in Lamar Jackson's league yet. I mean, Lamar Jackson's been a league MVP, even though I think he won his first playoff game last year. He just hasn't gone far enough in the playoffs yet. But Jalen Hurts hasn't even got to the playoffs yet. So I wouldn't even put him in Lamar Jackson's league. Lamar's led a team with the best record in his conference on a couple of occasions. And so, no, I wouldn't put him in that league yet. But prior to this past week, you saw some progression out of Jalen Hurts. Hopefully, you know, we'll see if he bounces back from the performance he had against the Giants. But
I'm talking about style. You know, Jalen hurts you with his feet first, and Lamar kind of does too. So I'm looking at the style. I'm not looking at the record. I'm looking at that style of quarterback that might, you know, and a little bit of Kyler Murray is doing a little bit of the same thing. I mean, is this the direction that, you know, a lot of college football enters the pro, and I'm starting to see it with these kind of quarterbacks.
I tell you what, he's going to walk into that wide receiver room, though. I agree with you in terms of style, but like you said, Rob, he had a bad game, but part of that is about Jalen Reagor. Jalen Reagor dropped two passes, two potential touchdown passes that could have won them that game. It was just one hit him in the helmet, the other one through both his hands. And then one, that last one, Jalen Reagor dropped, he had Devontae Smith on the other side. Devontae Smith is waving his hand like this. And when Jalen Reagor dropped that ball, Devontae Smith lost his mind. So they're going to have to go out to dinner or play some golf or do something together this week and get that together, because you don't want that to start to, you know, rupture in that locker room and cause a problem. But you're looking for him to try to get him going and overtaking who's open, you know what I mean? So that's going to be interesting to watch. But I agree, his style, yeah. But they could have salvaged that game. Jalen Reagor is, especially when you could have had Justin Jefferson, awful pick by the Eagles.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth, JQ. I was going to say that. Justin Reagor has been a straight-out bust. They took him at 21, and the Vikings took Justin Jefferson with the very next pick at 22.
So,
big-time bust for the Philadelphia Eagles. So, I mean, obviously, the draft can be a crapshoot sometimes, but that was a huge miss by the Philadelphia Eagles right now. Justin Jefferson, you know, having one of the better rookie wide receiver years of any wide receiver in league history. So, big-time bust by the Eagles. But, yeah, definitely style of play is definitely very similar. I get back to the offensive lines here a little bit, too. I think the two best offensive lines in the NFL is Tampa Bay Colts. And the Colts. I think they have the two best offensive lines in the league.
Oakland? Is that what you said, Tampa Bay and Oakland?
Indianapolis.
No,
the Colts.
Oh, Indianapolis.
Come on.
Okay.
Yeah, Indianapolis. Well, I think Tampa Bay.
I think Dallas is up there, though.
I do think Dallas. Kansas City's offensive line has improved a lot. Creed Humphrey might be the best rookie in the National Football League, but he won't get Rookie of the Year as a center. But he's really improved that offensive line play. He's been a huge addition. Similar to Rashawn Slater has been with the Chargers too. Those two rookies been huge gets for those organizations. But yeah, I think the Bucs and the Colts have the best offensive lines with Dallas and the Chiefs in Cleveland. Cleveland just lost Conklin, so that's going to hurt them big time. To me, those were some of the better offensive lines in the league.
There it is. Good job, Rob. Go ahead and wrap up the show, man, because it's been one of those situations, and we've had a long situation. Go ahead, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. Thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Show from 12th Man. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night. That's going to be 11 p.m. for your folks in North Carolina and Charlotte. That's going to be 10 p.m. in Deep Dish Pizza Country in Chicago. Albuquerque, Denver. It's going to be 9 p.m. for you all. And JQ's favorite city, Fresno. Wake up, 8 o'clock next Tuesday night. Make sure y'all tune in, Jackson, Mississippi, and the West Coast.
Boy, you are a damn fool. I'm with y'all.
Fresno State, y'all need a new coach, too.
Yes, they do. Get hired by Washington.
Anything else, man?
Yep.
We appreciate you guys. Hey, Curtis, Gary, thank you so much for adding some good color to an amazing show. Again, as always, I know it's been been a fun week, and hope you guys had a fantastic Thanksgiving. I know it's a pleasure. I'm thankful to have you guys as always. I know we kind of joke around, have some fun. I'm counting the days to whenever we can, you know, break bread together and just do something and have the show in person, man. So maybe we'll make that happen. I'm saving up. Got a nice little cash thing saved up for this moment, so whenever we can make that happen, gentlemen, it'll be a privilege to share with you guys and just have some fun for sure, man. Make a nice little guys trip. Even if we got to fly to Vegas or something fun, let's make that happen for sure. So let's keep that going, and again, you guys have a fantastic week, and looking forward to Saturday too. I know I'm working as always, but I'll keep an eye on the Twitter, keep an eye on what's happening on the tweets, and make sure that it's going to be a fantastic week, especially with Georgia and Alabama, man, because I'm kind of curious to see what's going to happen with that for sure, man, because that's going to be big time, you know. So you're going to hear like a progressive groan from the city if we don't win, man. So, but anyway, it's all good. Rob, be safe, sir.
Well,
appreciate you as always. You got the top.
Chargers in the playoffs,
like
win or lose, but yeah. Chargers in the playoffs, win or lose, but I'm sure they want to kick Alabama's ass and knock them out.
Yeah, they do.
Hey, again, there's some good topics, Rob. We can keep some of those topics. You don't have to redo everything. We can take some from this week and bring them to next week, too, so you don't have to always think about we can repurpose a couple of those great topics, if you will, too. But, gentlemen, have a great West. I know we went way past what we wanted
to
do.
We changed it every week, though, so it's kind of hard to keep the topics if we go to the next week.
There's some good topics, like whenever you talk about like the top prospects, and there's some topics whenever you kind of mentioned the top rookies, and then obviously we have some good notes as far as the top five draft position order the team needs, which is some good stuff too, man. So you can kind of pick and choose some different topics too, for sure. And I wanted to hear obviously Russell Westbrook and if they regretted that, so that's a good topic that could always be recycled as well too, So but anyway, we're all good. Congrats, JQ, to Ohio State, whipping Duke and little things like that, too. So, again, it's just we had so much stuff to talk about with the college, that was just an explosive week as far as college football and all the movement, because that was not expected. So we spent a lot of time talking about that for sure. So, it's all good.
And we're not done. Notre Dame and Oklahoma, two powerhouses. They need coaches now, too. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, we'll definitely see about that for sure, man. So, all right, gentlemen, have a good rest of your remaining part of the day. I got to get up early too, man. Good night, and we'll see you guys next week for sure, okay? Thanks, Curtis. Thanks,
all right,
be safe, guys. Have a great week. Good night.
Be safe.